From the Land-Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report for the third day of February 2020. I'm Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Kurt Kimmel. He's at Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois. Mark Russo will join us to discuss the agricultural weather forecast. We'll check in on the cash grain situation with the folks at the Andersons from right here in Champaign County. And all along the way, I'll remind you that coming up in just about a month, actually slightly less than that now, on the third day of March, we will be at the Beef House in Covington, Indiana for the All Day Ag Outlook. You can buy the tickets for that one right now online at willag.org. More as we make our way through this Monday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Here are the numbers as they finished up in Chicago. March corn today down 2.5 cents. It settled at $3.78 3/4. The May at $3.84 1/2 down 2. July $3.89 1/2, a penny and a half lower. In December $3.89 1/2 down 1 1/4. The March soybeans up 4 1/2. Settlement price there at $8.77. The May at $8.90 3/4 up 4. In July at $9.04 1/2 up 4 cents. November at 9.16 1/2, up 4 1/4 for the day. The bean oil at $30.29, up 35 cents. The bean meal, $1.29 lower at $1.20 lower at $2.89.80. Wheat futures soft red July at $5.53 1/2, up 1. The hard red at $4.80 1/2, half of a cent higher. Live cattle futures finished the February 30 cents higher. The April, $1.05 higher. It settled at $1.20.72 1/2, and feeder cattle in the March at $136.65, 57 1/2 cents higher. Lean hogs February down 82 1/2 cents. April at $62.72 1/2 cents per 100 pounds, $1.12 1/2 higher for the day. The crude oil down $1.53. Ethanol futures unchanged. Heating oil or diesel fuel about a nickel lower, and gasoline off around 3 1/2 cents. The Dow is up around 180 to 90 points, and the U.S. dollar is at 97.63, up 0.417. The gold futures down $7.30. We're now joined by Kurt Kimmel at Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois, to take a look at this marketplace and talk about what's been happening in Chicago. Hey, Kurt, thanks so much for being with us. We're now just a month away, because on the third day of March, you and I and a whole bunch of other folks will be over at the Beef House in Covington, Indiana. I think we'll have a lot to talk about, including things that have been happening in this last week. I'm really looking forward to that. Hope you are, too.
Oh, boy, it's always a great event to be able to see everybody in person, and there's a lot of good ideas that come across that meeting, Todd.
Yeah, indeed there are. If you want your tickets, you can buy those now at willag.org, willag.org. So what happened in the soybeans that managed to put them up 4 1/2 cents today?
Boy, that was a relief to see an update for a change, particularly on a Monday. We saw Egypt buy 130,000 tons of beans, U.S. beans. And, man, Egypt buying beans, Egypt as a buyer has not really been mentioned. You got to go clear back to the 80s and 90s when we used the export incentive program to help Egypt buy a bunch of our wheat. So that was encouraging to see that. Then we saw the export inspections report where we shipped out 1.355 million metric tons of beans. So fundamentally, there was a little help there. It helped the technicians come in and be a buyer. The market's incredibly oversold. We established a hook price reversal to the upside. We made a new low and closed higher on the day. So one day, first day of the month, we do have a monthly reversal in progress. We still have the month of February to go yet, but I think that's encouraging to see some up. But the ability to close higher on talk that China is going to be seeking maybe some flexibility on this phase one trade pledge was a little bit of a concern. As we mentioned, for a long, long time, there's loopholes. There's events, unforeseeable event or natural disasters that can come in to play. So hopefully they won't pursue that. When you look at the total, the pledge is do not ask them to buy more as a country worldwide. We're seeking to see some more demand come to the U.S., regain some market share here in the U.S. So when you look at the world numbers in general, they've got some room to continue to buy some U.S. beans. They just need to stop buying South American beans. It is the Chinese New Year. It is the year of the rat, so we can take that any way you want. But the year of the rat, people born in the year of rat are optimistic, likable. They're wealthy, and there's high fertility. Well, with the lockdown we've seen here over the last week, there could be a population explosion 9 months from now.
Well, we'll see how coronavirus plays out in that particular case. It's an interesting take and thought on that process. So we do have this little update. We've got some ideas, and it was good that we had an update in the face of coronavirus and the potential that it could have China pulling out maybe parts of the Phase 1 deal, or at least delaying them for some time. On the other hand, if you look around the rest of the world, you see that in Brazil, there is a really big crop of soybeans just about to be harvested or in the beginning of harvest, and that'll start coming onto the marketplace, I think, in about a month and a half or so. Early shipments come out already, but more, a whole bunch more will be coming soon. And I guess we won't have to deal with BR-163 this year because it's all paved. Is that right?
Well, they've got better logistics. They've been working on that for some time because that's their main artery of transportation. Brazil is anywhere from 6 to 8% harvested. Early yields continue to come in better than a year ago. The key, though, is they are behind last year's pace, but those beans will eventually make their way to the ports, and that's where most of the boats are heading. There are some fairly good, decent rains in the forecast for Brazil. It could maybe continue to slow harvest somewhat, but that soil can absorb or take a lot of moisture. The key will be the Argentine crop. They were under a little bit more of a weather stress situation through their growing season, which is still going on. So there's still a long way to go, but yeah, you're correct. As we move into late February, the heart of that crop will come to town, for say.
Anything new for the corn market today?
Well, it's a little weaker on some spread activity. I think there was some disappointment on not seeing any news on export side of corn. There was rumors of some fairly good corn business taking place, and that was unforeseeable. And two, back to the varmints or the rodents, we did see a groundhog day here yesterday, and I guess we're Phil was, they did not see a shadow, so that looks like we're going to see an early spring. But here there's sunny skies, so hopefully we'll be able to get into the better weather pattern. The longer-term maps continue to stay somewhat wet, so it could be a challenge. Then one other note, too, the Super Bowl, back in the 70s, 80s, early 90s, the division winner of the Super Bowl kind of predicted what the stock market would do. Whenever the American division would win, that would be bearish the stock market. Whenever the national division would win, it was kind of bullish the stock market. Whenever they released this study, the track record went kapook all of a sudden. But if you're still a believer that the Chiefs won, and that was on the American side, so so far, the stock market's doing good, ignoring that negative news.
Well, you're always good at coming up with some great things. Livestock, before I let you go for the day, we had the cattle inventory numbers out.
Yeah, fairly well as expected. Beef demand is still robust. The thing is, in the pork sector, the pork complex just got hammered last week. Massive selling pressure. It was able to hold its own ground in through here. Just like the soybean chart and the deferred contracts February on, or past February, they record a new price low and close higher. So we were able to kind of reverse up out of the hole in through here. And I'd view these recent lows as support. When you look at the world situation on pork, when you see the lockdown in Asia and so forth, there's still going to be some fairly good demand for protein worldwide. And I think that's coming as we move into this summertime window.
Hey, thanks so much. I appreciate it.
Very good. Take care.
You too. Kurt Kimmel is with Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois, joins us here in the closing market report, and will be one of just 16 analysts to join us at the All Day Ag Outlook over at the Beef House in Covington, Indiana on the third day of March. That's just a month away now. You can buy your tickets. They're just $30. Find all the details online. Purchase those tickets today at WILLAG.org. I'm Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. We're joined by Jonathan Kappas. He's an agricultural policy specialist here at the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois. Producers across the nation will be making some decisions related to ARC and PLC for both the 2019 and the 2020 crop years. So they'll be looking back and having to make some decisions. That'll be done by March the 15th, same day as the crop insurance is done. Two different decisions, though.
Two very different decisions.
Yeah, so producers need to be aware of that. You, Gary Schnitke, some others have worked to develop a calculator that producers can use. It's online at the FarmDoc website, not FarmDoc Daily, but farmdoc.illinois.edu, and people will find that right there. They're looking for the Farm Bill 2018 toolbox because that's where these things started from. But it's kind of a really cool calculator and gives, I love this, it gives percentages. What are the odds,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Right? Yeah, so tell
So thank you for saying that. And we've got this through the Gardner program, the generous endowment from the Gardner family and the Illinois Farm Bureau family of companies. We've been working for quite a while now, and it's been a lot of fun. We've been working with the National Center for Supercomputing Applications here on campus. So the team of programmers and big data and big computing capabilities, and it's been fascinating just learning our way through some of that. But online at the FarmDoc website, you can get to the 2018 toolbox where we have the Gardner calculator, which is the web-based one that you can run the payments that you were mentioning. Gary's built a variety of Excel spreadsheet tools and what-if type programs. So if you want to run that, that's available as well. And the other important thing, not only are we making the program decision, but also the yield update. So if you've got higher yields in the last few years and the calculations work out, you want to update those program yields on the land, regardless of what program you take. But back to your point on the Gardner calculator. So it is available. You can run this now. We've updated it just recently with some more recent prices, the more recent price forecasts that have come out. And to your point again, the most important aspect of this decision is you are making it by FSA Farm. It's the producer that makes the program decision. It's FSA Farm by FSA Farm number. And it is between ARC County and PLC, it is a crop by crop decision. So again, these crops with base acres on that FSA Farm, you can make one decision for corn, another decision for soybeans, another decision for wheat, if you have base for all of those crops on your farm. So that's really what we're looking at right now. It's a 2019-2020 decision. You will be making it, and you'll be locked in for this past year as well as the upcoming year. But then beginning in 2021, you can alter that decision and review the programs and see which one makes more sense. And this will actually be very helpful for farmers to have you'll be much closer where we think prices will be. So our forecasts will be a little bit more accurate.
So farmers go to the FarmDoc site, they look for the 2018 toolbox, shouldn't be too hard to find, and then they're going to have to register, so if they're not already registered.
Yeah, we've got a secure website, so you're going to have to put in an email address and come up with a password, and it'll send you one of these verification emails. So make sure if you don't get something, make sure you check your spam filter or whatever else you've got on there to make sure you haven't buried it and lost it in some other folder on your email. But then you're just going to click and verify. So we're making sure that the people using the tool are not robots, not bots, or not hackers trying to get into our system. This way we can keep everything secure. But pretty straightforward, fairly standard, kind of sign-in system. And then you're going to pick the state, pick your county, and you can run through the crops that are available. We've got corn, soybeans, and wheat. We've got four price forecast scenarios for all three of those crops. So you can take a high, a low. You can look at the Congressional Budget Office forecast or this most recent forecast that Gary just put in there. And you run, you're running a program simulation on our systems here. And really, we're talking it's 1,000 runs around that price, you know, for each year. So I think we're at 385 for corn. So we run 1,000 scenarios around that corn using Gary's modeling efforts to correlate prices and yields and historical trends and whatnot. And that just gives you a sense of kind of what you said, the odds. You know, we know if it's 385, there's no PLC payment. But What are the odds around 385 where these payments may fall, and how it looks between Arc County and PLC? So it's kind of a, you know, I think we've the team at NCSA has done a wonderful job developing this thing, and I think it's a great resource as you as farmers sort through this decision.
So when you use the calculator, the easy stuff is state, county, crop. The reference price pops up automatically for that. You can choose the forecast model, and everybody will try to run them all. And then you get to that PLC payment thing.
Your program yield. Your program yield, which you've got on the books already, but you could have updated or can still and can update
Is it the same as APH?
It is not the same as APH. This is your FSA program yield. So it's not an APH. It's not a crop insurance yield, although you will use your crop insurance reported yields with FSA to update it. And we've got a tool on the toolbox to help estimate or give you a sense of the program yield. And also the Farm Service Agency on their website has a tool that'll pre-fill out the form, and you can just run the form in to FSA if you need. So they've actually done a great job of making it a bit easier for everybody to use there as well.
Yeah, so don't put your APH in.
Do not put your APH in. This is a farm program yield, and the update's really looking at 2013 to 2017 yields on that. And then there's a factor for corn and soybean, it's 0.81. So it's basically 81% of that 13 to 17 average yield for that farm. You can use crop insurance paperwork, you know, what you reported to crop insurance for the 13 to 17 yields, but you're not using an APH.
It's fun to use, and it's fun to see the odds.
You do get to check the odds, although, you know, with the updated prices, the odds have fallen drastically for corn this year around both ARC and PLC. So we're not expecting much in the way of ARC or PLC payments for the 2019 crop year.
Hey, thanks so much.
You bet, Todd. Always good to talk to you.
Jonathan Kappas is an agricultural policy specialist here on the Urbana-Champaign campus at the University of Illinois. If you'd like to see the ARC and PLC calculator, you can do that by visiting the FarmDoc website. That's farmdoc.illinois.edu. There you'll find the calculator for ARC County and PLC decisions. And if you'd like to run a spreadsheet with the ARC IC decisions in the case you have prevent plant, then that's there as well. Let's check the weather forecast now with Mark Russo at Bris Pulse in Chicago, Illinois. Hey, thanks, Mark, for being with us on this Monday afternoon. I'd like to start in South America. They're in the midst of harvest, at least the beginning of harvest, for soybeans in Brazil. But can you tell me a little bit about that and then check on the continent as a whole, please?
Yeah, well, down in Brazil, we're seeing right now, at least from a pattern perspective, rainfall in the areas that are being harvested right now, Mato Grosso, Goiás, Mato Grosso do Sul, and Paraná, rainfall over the next 2 weeks looks to register near to slightly above normal. Now, the most active conditions or the most anomalous precip totals look to be at least outside of Mato Grosso and Paraná, where harvesting has been most advanced up to this point. So this with the pattern that may result in some disruptions in harvest progress, but anything would be more localized rather than that widespread. And from a macro perspective, the early soybean harvest, it is running behind last year and running slightly behind normal. And with the pattern here coming up, that will result in just a general maintaining of that pace, but still no sign of any extreme wetness or long duration wetter patterns that would really bog things down. At least, here in February, there's no sign of that.
Here in the United States, at least in our part of the world, it's been unseasonably warm. Will we dip back into the colder temperatures?
It does look like temperatures are going to at least begin retreating from the anomalously warm levels here in the Midwest. Still, for the next 5 days, temperatures will stay warmer than normal. And actually, across much of Illinois, we're forecasting readings or departures about 5 to 6 degrees above normal. That then transitions to more kind of seasonal temperatures over the upcoming weekend and throughout much of next week. But there's still no sign of any major or extreme cold coming in to the lower 48 over the next few weeks. All of the more significant cold will remain locked up across the Arctic, really wrapped up with the polar vortex, which looks to stay pretty much a stronger than normal and more of a centered feature there near the North Pole rather than being unstable and you know, impacting the middle latitude. So it's going to continue the theme here of what we've seen of late and keep the extreme cold bottled up.
Hey, thanks so much for joining us, Mark. We'll talk with you again next week.
Sounds good, Todd. Thanks for having me.
You're welcome. That's Mark Russo. He's with Risk Pulse out of Chicago, Illinois. In the last 3 minutes, U.S. Secretary of Agriculture Sonny Perdue has announced that the third tranche of the MFP, or Market Facilitation Program, payment will be made, though there was no time frame. I suspect it will be pushed out fairly quickly. You might recall that this third tranche will be the same size as the second payment that was made to farmers late last year. Now, we're joined by Amy Sage. She's at the Andersons from right here in Champaign County. Hey, good afternoon to you, Amy. Thanks for being with us and taking the time.
Good afternoon, Todd.
What has been movement like in the last week, if at all?
I guess Central Illinois, we've got 3DP going on both corn and beans. So physically, we're seeing some movement of corn and beans out of the country. We have seen some selling activity on the rallies that we've had here lately, particularly in corn, since we haven't had any bean rallies here lately. But when we got up, where we were 392 to 393 on March corn, that put our cash price here at Champaign over $4, and there were some sales being made at those levels or pricing some basis contracts. But as far as the last week here, while we're seeing some physical movement, it's mostly into DP and not a lot of pricing activity.
What's your expectation for the next week?
Oh, basis. Really, we've seen strength, particularly in the beans. Rail values in corn kind of settled back a little bit last week. But overall in the country, you're seeing aggression, for a variety of reasons, some of that being quality, some of that being processors needing the corn. But I think that the trend has been improvement, even with demand what it is. And I think we'll continue to see that bean basis we saw improve here. So that's been the trend. And I guess I don't see that coming to a halt anytime in the near future.
And very quickly, your bids for the day?
You bet. Corn today, we're $3.89 for cash. Fall, we're $3.64 across the scale. Soybeans, we're $8.72. And for fall beans, we're $8.76. February now. February nearby wheat is $5.51, and new crop July is at $5.34.
Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Amy Sage is with the Andersons. Joined us on the closing market report for this Monday afternoon. Please visit our website. You can find all of our ag programming to listen to there at WILLAG.org. But more importantly at this time, you can buy that $30 ticket for the all-day agricultural outlook. It's just a month away now. You want your ticket. We'll have 16 analysts there to discuss the cash grain market, the price of soybeans, the price of corn. We'll take a look at the weather forecast with Eric Snodgrass, hear all about the ARC PLC and crop insurance decisions a couple of different times, and it'll be a great day. That $30, by the way, includes a morning coffee and roll from the Beef House and the Beef House lunch. You can't beat it at willag.org. I'm Todd Gleason.